I just wanted to mention that this is actually my first time teaching in public, other than this morning with the ladies for a women's Bible study. So when I got the call from Rebecca, I can honestly say I was extremely nervous. My stomach just started, it just sunk, and my heart started racing. But at the same time, I was filled with excitement. So after a lot of seeking of the Lord and numerous pages being deleted, here I am today. So let's go ahead and get started with prayer, and we'll go from there. Thank you, God, for this day and just for allowing us to gather together, Lord, in your church, Lord God, and for allowing us to hear your word, Lord God. So I just ask that you prepare our hearts to receive your word and to apply it to our life and to be able to go out and use it, Lord. So I just ask that you be with this time and be with the ladies, Lord. I ask this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. So today's topic or discussion is going to be family. And now most of you guys already know we have two types of family. First, we have the home family. And secondly, as believers, we have the church family, which both require a lot of the same things. But the most important thing that we require as a family is to be centered on one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, as many of you may know today, both families are coming under attack, whether it be by entertainment industries, materialism, selfishness, and the list goes on. So I want to first start by discussing the home family and what that looks like. The home family is a basic unit to society that a lot of people don't realize the importance of. You see, we get ourselves so caught up with the things of this world, what's happening on Wall Street, what's happening at the United Nations, what's even happening with the elections. Don't get me wrong. These things are very important, okay? But the fact of the matter is that we're neglecting the home. And see, it's in the home where character is born, integrity is formed, and the values that we live by are made clear. Goals are set, and attitudes are formed that last a lifetime. See, if our home begins to fail, society begins to fail. And aren't we seeing that today? So how do we fix this? Jesus gives us the answer in Matthew chapter 7, verse 25. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. The house on the rock pictures a life founded on a proper relationship with God and his word. Now, as I was thinking about this, a couple of questions came to my mind. Number one, do we even have a relationship with God? Number two, is our home a God-fearing home? And number three, are we obeying God's word? Or are we tucking it away in the corner of our lives only to be taken out when we're in public? You see, the family home needs to have a relationship with God and be in the word. So now let's get back to the home family. In order for the home family to properly function, we must start at the root of it, and that's marriage, which was instituted from the beginning back in Genesis. So, as wives, we're told in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ the head of the church. And as he is the savior of the body, therefore just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Now, to submit to another person is a commonly misunderstood concept in today's day and age. First of all, it does not mean that we are a doormat to anybody. The second of all, that we are not less than anyone else. I can recall a time when I had this mentality that I'm woman, hear me roar, or that I will never let a man tell me what to do. But I remember growing up watching my mom slave away to my stepdad to my dad's every needs. We couldn't be found sitting down because we weren't working. If we were sitting down, we were being lazy in his eyes. I never understood why my mother wouldn't put him in his place. But then after a while, I got to see that reverence and respect that she showed him, even if she was being treated like a doormat. I can honestly say from this example, he has come a long way. Although he is not a believer, it has still changed his life. Now, as many of you possibly are probably thinking right now, well, Heidi, you have no idea what my husband's put me through. Or I'll respect my husband when he treats me better or when he is worthy of my submission. But ladies, I'm here to tell you that this is wrongful thinking when it comes to submission, because the truth of the matter is that you and I are never more like the Lord Jesus Christ than when we submit and pattern our lives after the Lord. To add to this, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe their chaste conduct accompanied by fear." You see, ladies, we are to be submissive even if our husbands are not obeying the word of God, if they are non-believers. As long as it lines up with the word of God, we need to be submitting. Because when we study the Gospels, you see that the Lord always submitted to the Father's will. And the funny thing is, this morning we were actually reading in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, when Jesus was on the cross and he let out a loud yell and he said, he yielded his life to the Lord. Maybe I should just read it instead of try to wing it there. It said, verse 50, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded his spirit." Likewise, as believers, we must follow after the Lord's example. Godly marriages are a picture of God's love for his church. Nothing demonstrates a woman's faith more than faith in God more than the ability to love, respect, and submit to her husband. By doing so, she proclaims the power of the gospel to her children and to the world. But now, just as is it important for the wives to submit to their husbands, so too is it important for the church family to be submissive. Again, it was Paul's writing in the church to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, who would say, "As the believers, we are to be submitting to one another in fear of God." As a church, we are called to be humble, submissive Christians. You know, no believer is inherently superior to another believer in the standing before God. We are equal in every way. You see, for the church family and the home family, when we submit, it makes it easier to obey. And when we obey, we are more like Christ. Secondly, the part of the home family, secondly, the part of home family marriage and raising godly children. Now, as a mother of three, I can admit this is one of the hardest things I've actually ever had to do, especially when one of my kids hit a milestone and then I think I'm done with it, then I get hit by another milestone. We as parents are competing with this world for our children's attention. Many parents today are turning to books that are very enticing with titles like Peaceful Parent, Happy Children, Parenting with a Purpose, and The Ultimate Parenting Guide. And the list goes on. But we only get one chance to raise our children, and God has given us all the wisdom we could possibly need in his word. We see in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, how Timothy's mother Eunice and grandmother Lois were such an example and made an impact in Timothy's life. We also need to be making an impact in our children's lives. And as we are also told in the book of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Not only is it important to invest in our children, but it is also our duty to pour the word of God into their lives and be living and walking examples to them. Not just on Sunday, but on a day-to-day basis. As parents and grandparents, are we teaching the word of God? Are we praying for our children and our grandchildren? And are we being examples behind closed doors? Likewise, just as it is important for parents to get the word poured into the children's lives and the children to learn the word of God, so too is it important for the church family to get the word of God poured into their lives. This is why I'm so glad that our church offers so many opportunities for us to gather and to grow and to get the word poured into our life. So we're left without an excuse of why we're not getting in the word. But now in conclusion, in order for the church family and the home family to properly function and be successful, we need to come back to the Bible and build our homes on the word of God. It's not enough to just read it. We need to be applying it and we need to live it. And I want to leave you with this verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So I'm just going to end with prayer. Thank you, God, for this time and forgive me, Lord, for just speeding it up and getting extra nervous, but I thank you for allowing me and using me to speak your word, Lord. And I just ask, as the ladies break off into their into the group, Lord, that they may be filled with your word, Lord God, and be able to apply this to their life. I ask this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.